WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King Students. We now present our 9th episode, Top of the Class.
I don't have any.
No, see, the game is called Go Fish.
So?
So when I ask you if you have any threes, and you don't have any, you're supposed to say, Go Fish.
But these are playing cards.
Brody!
Oh, I think I've got this.
Do you have any threes?
You want to go fishing?
Hello, Police Department. Officer Spinelli speaking.
I'd like to report a crime.
Of course. Do you mind if I ask you for your name?
Stella Rodney.
What seems to be the trouble, Stella?
I can't stand the cheating at my high school. I have a chance to be valedictorian, and it's going to be ruined by this talentless moron.
Whoa, slow down there, Stella. I believe you, but that's not really police business. All I can tell you to do is take it up with the school administration.
I have.
And?
They don't do anything about it. Please, officer, there's got to be something you can do.
Well, there's really nothing I can do, but I think I know someone who can help you.
Got any bass?
Oh, jeez.
You're such a bad influence on me, Harry. Not even noon yet, I'm having a drink.
It's amazing what some spring weather can do for your state of mind. Spring had sprung, as they say, and Carolyn was enjoying the same high that everyone else was after what was a harsh winter. She'd called me last night asking if she could meet me today, which means only one of two things. A, she needs my help on a story, or B, she had something important to tell me. And since A had never occurred, I was betting that she had some pretty exciting news. Oh, come on, Carolyn, it's just a little shot.
I know, but I've never known you to stop after one little shot.
What's two little shots?
Yeah, what's the whole bottle?
So, Carolyn, why'd you stop by? You could have called if all you wanted to do was make fun of my love for the drink.
Well, I've been working about 4 years now for the Ledger, and the current assistant editor is leaving for another paper.
You think you're going to get the position?
I don't see how I couldn't. I'm the best beat reporter they got.
Congratulations! I really was thrilled for her. Where most people would see Carolyn as cocky for her presumption, no one would deny that she was the best reporter at the Ledger. It was nice to see her finally get some recognition for her hard work in completing the sometimes undignified tasks that come with the job.
I should get back to work. Thanks for the drink, Harry.
Anytime. Before I even knew what happened, Carolyn had me in a close embrace. It was strange. The only time we had hugged in the past was to confuse our friends in college that we were dating. While I was holding her, the door abruptly swung open.
Harry!
Oh, damn it. Here we go.
Oh, excuse me. Thanks again, Harry.
Talk to you later, Carolyn.
What was that about?
It's times like these I wish I had a different secretary. Deborah, please.
Oh, I see. I have Jimmy in here and it's unacceptable, but you can bring whoever the hell you want in. At least Jimmy was here before work.
There's a difference, Deborah. There's nothing going on with me and Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
And even if there were, it's still not the same thing as you and Jimmy.
How's that?
I'm the boss.
Spinelli just called. Said he sent a girl on down here. Thinks you can help her with something about high school. Oh, that must be her now.
Send her in. High school? I forgot what high school was even like. As she closed the door, I took notice of a slender 17 or 18-year-old girl standing about 5.5 feet tall with a long flowing skirt, a white blouse, and long brown hair. Judging by the stack of books she was carrying, she was no slacker. Everything about this girl said model student.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes, I'm Harry Flynn, Private Eye.
Hi, I'm Stella Rodney.
Pleased to meet you. I heard my friend Officer Spinelli sent you here. What seems to be the problem?
I have been working for 4 long years to earn valedictorian at Teddy Roosevelt High School. And now it's all going to be for nothing because everybody's saying that Joey Stucci is going to get it.
I began to see why Spinelli would send her to me. The police can't be bothered with high school academics. It's not like they sit around playing cards at the station. They have work to do.
The problem is, Joey Stucci hasn't lifted one book his entire high school career. There's no way he's even close to the top of the class. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he's dead last. He doesn't even try.
Okay. And you'd like me to investigate this, Joey?
Yeah. Something this outrageous doesn't start without some merit to it. I just don't know how. There's no way he's that smart. He's got to be cheating.
I'll see what I can do. In the meantime, don't worry about it. There's nothing saying you still can't get valedictorian.
Yeah, nothing's for certain if people like Joey Stucci can cheat their way to the top.
I escorted her out and got to work on canvassing the school. Teddy Roosevelt High School was on the east side of the city, and was about as typical a high school as you're going to find these days. Making the quick drive over, I walked onto the school grounds and immediately recognized I stuck out amidst these teenagers like Deborah would in a street gang. God, I hope these slicked hairstyles don't last. Excuse me? Now all I needed to do was get someone else to corroborate Stella's story. Hopefully it wouldn't take long, as I got the attention of a senior girl.
Yes?
Hi, I work for the newspaper, and I'm writing a story on the local high schools. What the students like about their school, things like that.
Oh, that's nifty.
So, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Sure. But first, can I see your ID?
What?
Identification. From the newspaper?
Great. No stupid alias, a plausible story, and then somebody asked to ask for proof. Just my luck. Scrambling for an excuse, I said the first thing that came into my head. Oh, I seem to have left it back at the office.
I understand.
And with that, she walked away. Damn. That probably was my best opportunity to get some honest answers. But I figured I'd try again. You there.
What do you want, old man?
Hey, I'm not all that old. With a response like that, I didn't think this was going to end well. But it's too late to back out now. I'm writing an article for the paper, and I was wondering if you wouldn't mind answering a few questions for me about your high school.
Sure thing, shoot.
Huh. Well, what are your favorite things about Roosevelt High?
The teachers are pretty nice. They help me out.
Now this guy definitely wasn't threatening Stella's chances. Anything else?
I like our mascot.
Which is?
The Bull Moose.
The Teddy Roosevelt High Bull Moose. Bull Meese? Bull Moose? Bulls Mooses? I'll be sure to get that in the article. Now, do you know of anyone who might be in the running for valedictorian this year?
Stella Rodney for one.
So half of Stella's story was true. Now for the clincher. What about Joey Stucci?
What the hell are you trying to pull, old man? I don't know nothing about no Joey Stucci. Never heard of him.
Your face says otherwise.
I'm out of here.
I didn't get your name.
Good thing.
Try as I might, from this point on, I didn't have any takers to talk to me. I needed someone who looked more trustworthy. Luckily, I knew the best beat reporter at the Ledger. Heading back to the office, I gave Carolyn a call and asked her if she could meet me at Roosevelt High when school was letting out. Fortunately, she agreed to help me out. Make sure you have your ID on display.
Harry, I know the first rule of being a reporter. Thank you.
While I would normally not let that go, Carolyn was really doing me a big favor. At the sound of the closing bell, she quickly got to work as crowds of students stampeded by.
Excuse me. Can I have a minute of your time?
Sure.
A roughly 17-year-old young man had stopped to chat. I guess that ID went a long way.
My name is Carolyn, and I work for the Ledger.
Hi, I'm Clyde.
Well, Clyde, we're getting a story together on the local high schools and how each one is received by its respective student population.
I felt strange just standing there watching this exchange. All I could do, though, was trust Carolyn to get the information I needed, and hope that none of the students recognized me as the old man reporter imposter from the change of classes earlier today.
Sounds neat.
Yeah. So, Clyde, what do you like about TRH?
Our mascot is really different. I like that.
The Bulls Meese?
Right, the Bull Moose.
Sorry, Clyde. My partner has heard that answer quite a bit today. Didn't mean to cut you off. Now, do you know anything about the top students this year? Who do you think is going to get valedictorian?
Are we off the record?
Do we need to be?
Yes.
Sure, okay.
Finally, somebody was going to give me a concrete lead. Looks like I was going to owe Carolyn another drink.
Stella Rodney should actually be getting it, but Joey Stucci is going to finish top of the class.
Why do you say that?
He and his family have been meeting with the administration, often, after school hours. I don't know what's going on, but trust me, nobody talked about Stucci getting valedictorian before those meetings began.
You got any names for me? His family, the administration?
You want to get me killed? The principal's name is Bonner. He's definitely involved. That's all you're getting from me.
Thanks for your time.
Don't mention it.
Harry, I can't quite place it, but I know I've heard that name before. Stucci. I'm going to check out what kind of information we got on that name at the Ledger.
Thanks, Carolyn. As Clyde briskly walked away, Carolyn and I headed back to our respective offices. I didn't know what had Clyde so intimidated, but I'm going to find out. The clout surrounding Joey Stucci is definitely something sinister and suspicious. And given how some of these students spoke to me today, I'm surprised Stella even came forward at all.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Top of the Class, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Don't you just hate it when you've been shot and you can't figure out who did it?
Yes, yes. My final wish is just to know who did this to me.
Well, now you can, with this.
What is it?
It's Shooter String. With this very strong, very rigid string, you can identify where the shooter was when you met with your untimely end.
How does it work?
Is there a doctor around? I'm dying.
Here to explain Shooter String is the renowned Hungarian expert in physics, Dr. I'm a Fraud. Doctor?
With this specialized string, you can simply place one end of the string against the hole made in the corpse, the wall, or whatever the bullet hit, and use the bullet casing protractor to identify a straight line, leading straight to your shooter.
What if it was fired outside?
Impossible.
So, for just 45 easy payments of 10 cents each, you can have your shooter string delivered right to your home, for all your shooter identification needs.
How do I know it works? I want a demonstration.
Of course!
I've been shot! Again!
Now get your string and a special protractor.
This is really neat. I'm going to get my purse so I can buy some shooter string right now.
Excuse me, sir. I'm just going to insert this string into your wound.
I don't need no damn string. I just saw him shoot me.
I believe you're mistaken.
Mistake? What the hell is wrong with you anyway? You know how much pain I'm in? If I could, I'd get up and show you a...
Yeah, I'll show you something. That's Dr. Fraud's shooter string. Only 45 payments of 10 cents each. Just call 1-800-SHOOTER. That's 1-800-SHOOTER.
I'm back with my money. Hey, what happened to that man?
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I knew I needed to get into that principal's office if I was going to find out anything more about Joey Stucci. But the newspaper cover story wasn't going to work. If the administration of Teddy Roosevelt High School had something to hide, they wouldn't talk to the press. I needed something much more typical. Something that the principal would see regularly and wouldn't interpret as a threat. Deborah!
Yeah, Harry?
Can you come here for a second? I needed someone who could pass for a high school student. For my part, I was going to be a father looking to enroll my daughter at TRH. Deborah walked into my office and I took my time trying to figure out how to make this 20 and some odd years old secretary be an 18-year-old high school senior.
Harry, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me like that?
Never mind, Deborah. You can't pull it off.
Oh, so I'm not good enough to be a secretary anymore?
No, Deborah, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking.
Well, I can't read your mind.
I need to find someone who can pass for a high school student, so I can talk to the principal of Roosevelt High without suspicion.
I have some really cute dresses. I can do it.
I appreciated her enthusiasm, but I needed someone younger. It would look too suspicious. No matter how much of a girl she'd try to be, she'd still look like a woman. Although now, Deborah had me wondering. If she had all these nice outfits to wear, why didn't she ever wear them to the office? Actually, never mind. I don't want to know. Hey, Deborah, what's your little brother doing these days?
He's a mechanic.
And how old is he?
Just turned 19.
Is he looking to make any extra cash on the side?
I'll give him a call, Harry.
I'd only seen Johnny on a few occasions, and not in the past 2 years, but he was going to be the best candidate I could find for the job on such short notice. Deborah set up a meeting the following morning with Principal Franklin Bonner. Johnny arrived at my office around 9 a.m.
Hey, Deb, Harry here?
Yeah, I'll grab him. Wow, it's nice to see your face for a change instead of a solid inch of grease.
Yeah, I clean up nice, don't I?
Harry!
I walked out of the office and took a look at Johnny. About 5'10", built, in nice slacks and a button-down shirt. Not exactly the best high school senior, but not the worst either.
Well, Harry, good?
Good. Let's get going. We've got to be there in 10 minutes. I briefed Johnny on the situation on the drive over and told him to speak as little as possible while we were in the office. The last thing I wanted was for Johnny to blow our cover. It took way too long to get this far. I couldn't afford to have my one real lead destroyed. We walked to the principal's office and were welcomed in by this slightly overweight man in his 50s, Franklin Bonner, who seemed a little too happy with his job for his own good.
How are you gentlemen today?
Good, and yourself?
Good. Now, I understand you've just moved to the area?
Yes, that's correct. My name is Ben Fibben, and this is my son, Ben Jr.
Very nice to meet you both. I'm sure you will both love Teddy Roosevelt High and being part of the Bull Moose family. It's a fantastic school, and many of our students have gone on to the most prestigious universities in the nation.
And I expect nothing less from Ben here. He was at the top of his class back at...
Oh, was he?
It was amazing how quickly his demeanor had changed. All I had to do was mention that Johnny was a good student, and Bonner was sweating bullets.
Yes, Mr. Bonner. If my dad didn't have to move on account of his career, I would definitely have been valedictorian.
Maybe you can do it here, Ben.
No, that's completely out of the question.
Why?
Bonner spent a long time trying to formulate an answer. Clearly, this man wasn't the cause of the secrecy. Someone was forcing his hand. Finally, after a minute or two of unbearable silence, he spoke up.
What year are you, Ben?
Damn, we never went over that. Johnny looked at me and searched for an answer in my eyes. But I couldn't provide one without Bonner noticing. He was on his own.
Senior.
You have to be enrolled since your junior year to be eligible for an award of that caliber.
Oh, well, that's okay, Ben. You can still get into a good school after you graduate.
Thanks, Harry.
Did he just call me Harry?
What?
Exactly what I feared. Bonner's nervousness gave way to anger in a hurry. Johnny and I had to get the hell out of there.
Who are you guys?
Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Bonner, and I assure you we'll be in touch. Let's go, Ben. Johnny just sat there, a little overcome by fear. He knew he had really messed up. Let's go, Benny!
Right.
Johnny and I scrambled for the door, almost running into it in haste. Closing the door behind us, over Bonner screaming, we dashed down the hallway toward the parking lot. Before we could get there, we were stopped by a short teacher in her 50s.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Oh, we'll just be leaving now.
Let's go, Dad.
I saw you here yesterday. First you were reporting on the school, and now you're trying to enroll your kid. What are you up to?
My gut instinct was to trust her. She never seemed like she was going to report me of any wrongdoing. I'm a private investigator. I'm looking into...
What the hell? You just give it up like that?
Not now, Johnny.
I figured as much. I know what you're looking for. Come back tonight around 6 p.m., and you'll find it. Bonner's having a little meeting with his associates.
Meanwhile, Bonner had cut up with us. With no time to thank this teacher, Johnny and I sprinted to the door, jumped in my car, and sped off.
I'm sorry, Harry. I slipped up.
It's okay. We got what we needed anyway. And I wouldn't have gotten that far without you. I'll take you back to the shop. After dropping Johnny off and paying him for his cooperation, I headed back to the office. Dressing in my most conspicuous black clothing, I had a shot of whiskey and tried to figure out whose influence Joey Stucci had on his side. The students, the administration, the faculty. Virtually all of them feared the clout that surrounded his name. I have a bad feeling about this. Grabbing my piece, I made the now familiar drive back to Roosevelt High. Parking my car about 2 blocks from the school, I walked over to the grounds. The only people still there were maintenance. Although one of the janitors looked familiar. I was careful to slip behind this janitor, which wasn't very hard. He didn't seem to be very attentive. I silently made my way to the principal's office and peered through the window. Bonner was sitting behind his desk, clearly in his nervous state again. The other side, in one chair, sat a stocky black-haired young man whose body language said everything about how seriously he took school. Obviously, he didn't respect Bonner in any way. This must be Joey Stucci. In the other chair sat a hefty man in his 30s, who I knew from somewhere.
Salutatorian is not good enough. You're not in a position to negotiate with me, Bonner. What a terrible tragedy it would be for this school to lose such a great principal in an accident. But that accident can be arranged.
Giovanni Colazione. I knew better than to stick around. There's no way Colazione wouldn't have bodyguards crawling all over the school grounds. Couldn't just leave now, either. They knew my face from a previous encounter, which Giovanni Colazione was lucky he lived through. I was as good as dead if they found me here. I crept around the hallways and found an open teacher's lounge, with a telephone. Dialing as quickly as possible, I prayed that Carolyn was still at her office.
Hello?
Carolyn, you're never going to believe this. I'm back at the high school, and Giovanni Colazione and his mob are behind the valedictorian scandal.
I know. I researched the Stuccis. They're cousins of the Colazione's.
Well, why are they involved here? This seems pretty harmless compared to their other business interests.
They don't like paying for college education, so they earn them through protection. I checked previous ledgers over the years. Do you know how much money the Stuccis and the Colazione saved by graduating at the top of their class?
Carolyn, why didn't you tell me this earlier? They could kill me. They know my face.
I know they know your face. I've been calling your office trying to warn you for the past 30 minutes.
All right, I'm going to try to slip out of here. Thanks a lot for your...
Good one, Vito.
Vinny and Vito, two of Colazione's cronies, snuck up behind me while I was on the phone. Now knew who the familiar janitor was, the giant oaf Vito. Tried to get back up, but I knew I was losing consciousness.
Harry?
Should I hang up the phone?
Yes, you moron.
Okay.
Harry!
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Top of the Class, was written by Mark Zurich. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn in Dying Man, Randy George as Stella Rodney, Deborah, Johnny, and Interested Woman, Elizabeth Williams as Carolyn, Student Number 1, Dr. Fraud, and Mrs. Jennings, Drake Nestor as Clyde, Commercial Announcer, and Vito, Mark Zurich as Brody, Principal Bonner, and Vinny, and Lucas R. Tomasacci as Announcer, Student Number 2, Spinelli, and Giovanni Colazio. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook. Tune in next week for Part 2 of The Adventures of Harry Flynn, Season 1 Finale.